الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I believe that hadith number 17 was not fully explained, and therefore it would be much better for me that we go through it again, inshallah, to elaborate on some of the benefits we can learn from it. So, brother, would you please read it for us?
Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, and his father reported, "The Messenger of Allah, may the blessings of Allah and peace be upon him, happened to pass by two graves and said, their occupants are being tormented, but they are not tormented for a grievous sin. One of them did not keep himself safe from being defiled by urine, while the other carried tales and namima between people. He then called for a fresh twig and split it into two parts and planted one of them on each grave. The companions asked him, 'O Prophet of Allah, why did you do this?' He said, 'Perhaps their punishment may be lightened as long as these twigs remain fresh, moist.'"
Very good. So we spoke about the dangers of not cleaning yourself properly for prayer and not protecting yourself from what would come to you when you urinate and not being able to clean that. However, we've also spoke about not allowing shaitan to whisper to you and give you waswas that you are dripping, that there's a drop or two left. And this happens a lot with the practicing brothers. Only practicing brothers, huh? Why? Because shaitan knows how careful they are about things related to purity, to prayer, so he makes life difficult. And this is the way shaitan works. He's very smart. He is very stupid when he refused to prostrate as Allah commanded him. Other than that, he's very smart. His CV is so long. Yani, if you see the case studies that he had made and how many people he managed to deceive, he's very smart. So he comes to you. If he finds that you are strong in Islam, in religion, and your commitment, he makes life difficult. He tells you, instead of washing three times, make it five. You're a good practicing Muslim. Did you urinate well? No, clean yourself more and more and more. Maybe something came out without you knowing. Every salah you change your whole clothes, take a bath. He makes life difficult until he completely breaks you. And I've seen a lot of Muslims lose iman because of this. I've seen people personally, I know, that have lost iman, not practicing, not praying, not doing anything because of these. After being people of strong iman, practicing, and some of them I know used to give lectures in masjid. I've seen them, I know them. And look what happened. But if he sees that you are soft in deen, so when you perform wudu, only this portion, this is all dry, it's okay. Dhuhr prayer, instead of praying four, akhi, you prayed three. Wallah, ya Allah, next time, inshallah, I'll make it four. And he goes on until he destroys your deen completely by not having any deen anymore. So you have to be careful. Urinating is something that humans have been doing since Adam, until they die. You urinate in the day, 5, 6, 10 times a day. It's a normal process. Don't get confused. Urinate, relax. You finish urinating, do not squeeze yourself. Do not squeeze your private parts. Ibn Taymiyyah was asked so many times of Ibn al-Qayyim about what is known in Arabic by an-natr was-salt, meaning that you squeeze yourself internally or you actually squeeze your private part physically. And Ibn Taymiyyah says, don't do this. And Ibn Qayyim used to say, but Shaykh, I still feel like there's a drop or two. And he said, don't do this, Ibn Taymiyyah. And when Ibn Qayyim kept on asking for permission, Ibn Taymiyyah told him that urine in your private parts is like the milk in the mother's breast. If you leave it, it stays. If you ask for it, it comes out. So it's the same methodology. You urinate, you finish, you relax, you pour water on your private part and move. I feel, don't care about what you feel. Neglect your feelings. And then shaitan will lose hope, give up, and leave you, inshallah. طيب. It's not time for questions, but let's take this, wallah, mashallah. Regarding this topic, huh?
What if it actually happens to some people, they have a medical problem, which actually happened, it's not waswasa. So what do they have to do in that case?
Okay, the question, your question.
Sheikh, in the India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh, mostly it happens here. This particular hadith is quoted very often for when people die and on the graveyard they put flowers and, you know. And
okay, I understand. I will get into this, inshallah. Okay, try to make the questions in the last of the segment so that we control things. Regarding your question, if a person has a medical problem, it's a different issue completely. But who is capable of diagnosing this? A doctor, a physician. And I tell you, 99.9% have no medical condition at all. Why? Because a medical condition means that you are unable to control urine and it's coming out 24 hours a day. This is different. Those who have waswas, if you ask them, when do you get the feeling of a drop or two? They say, only after urinating and just before salah. Okay, the rest of the night, you're having it? No. I'm okay, I'm clean. So a medical condition is the one that is continuous. Every 15 minutes, every 10 minutes, he gets a drop or two coming out unintentionally without being able to control it. There are medications for that. But I'm talking about the waswas that comes every time you urinate, especially when you want to make wudu. So it's a different story. Now, coming back to your question, the Prophet ﷺ, when he took the twigs and he planted it on the graves, people nowadays, not only in Pakistan, Bangladesh, and India, even in Saudi Arabia, even in Egypt, even in Syria, they are saying that, okay, this is the grave of my father. We've just buried him. I'd like to put flowers. I'd like to put some leaves, some grass, anything that is green, so that Allah Azza wa Jal would reduce the punishment and the torment over him. Is this permissible? I'm following the sunnah, right? Right or wrong? Is this permissible or you don't know? You don't know. Alhamdulillah, this is good. This is half of knowledge. The scholars say, I do not know is half of the knowledge. So whenever you're asked, say, I don't know, this is a sign of your knowledge. This is not permissible to do. Why? The Prophet did it, alayhi sallam. I'll tell you why. First of all, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a prophet. Who told him that they are being tormented, they are being tortured and punished? Allah. Now, when you say that my father is in his grave, are you saying that your father is being tortured? Astaghfirullah, no, I don't hope so. So why do you put this on? Say, maybe. No. This is something of the unseen, of the ghaib. You have no knowledge of it, you have no power over it, so you cannot say, first of all. Second of all, when putting these twigs, the Prophet ﷺ, he himself said, I hope that Allah would accept my intercession in reducing their torment. Now, when you put all the grass and the leaves and the twigs you wish on a grave, do you have any promise from Allah that Allah would accept your intercession? No. So, on what basis are you doing this? Thirdly and finally, has any of the Prophet's companion ever done such a thing? No. Not only that, has the Prophet ﷺ ever done a similar thing to his wife Khadija when she died, to his daughters Zainab, Kulthum, Ruqayya? They died in his lifetime. Did he do this to the martyrs of Uhud? Did he do this to Uthman ibn Maz'un, who died in the first or second year of Hijrah? He did not do this to anyone except to these two graves. which indicates that it is not part of the Sunnah, and it is a grave and serious innovation for us to do it. So I hope this answers the question. We move on to the following hadith, inshallah. Hadith Abu Hurairah number 18, and who would give us the honor? Yes, Muhammad Aman.
Hadith number 18, Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, were it not that I might overburden my ummah, the Muslim community, I would have ordered them to use toothstick, siwak or miswak, for every prayer, at every time of prayer.
Okay. Now we move on to a different level of purification, which is not part of the wudu, of the ablution, but it completes it, using of the siwak. This is the toothbrush that Muslims use. It is made of arak, and this, they get it from under the ground usually. Sometimes they get it from the top of a tree, but usually it is part of the roots, arak. And the sunnah is that you use this whenever you are performing ablution and just before you pray. This is the sunnah. And the Prophet ﷺ's hadith is quite clear in that. We have a break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.